The groanings of God are the product of our vision of God. When God impregnates us with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and he imparts that into the very core of our being, we become a people impregnated with the purposes of God. And as we allow that call of God to lay hold of us, we are caught up in something that makes us pilgrims in this world. We are no longer moved by this world. We are no longer citizens of this world. We have been and are being translated into a citizenship that is in the heavens. And we are a people that are so in love with Him and are so concerned with His purposes in the earth that we speak truth to one another and we bear within our hearts the zeal of the Lord for His house. We don't bear in our hearts the zeal for our own little inheritance. As God begins to lay hold of a people, they are no longer invested in their own well-being. They are caught up in the zeal of the Son of God for His Father's house to arise out of the ashes of all that men have made it. And, you know, like it's quoted there, it says, "Zeal for His Father's house has consumed me." When He made cords and went in and drove the money changers who make God's house a house of merchandise. Can we not see that all across the land today? But God is raising up a priesthood. It's revealed in the fourth chapter of Zechariah, but we won't get into it today. But let us comprehend and let the implantation of the Son within you begin to open each of our eyes to the grandness, to the pinnacle to which He has purposed in us. A people who are moved by His Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Doesn't say those who confess Him, those who like to talk about Him. It says as many as are led by the Spirit. The Greek word there means born along. When Moses was put in a reed basket, he was born along. The ark being born along, it was carried. They who are carried by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. There's a moving within the heart of those in whom He dwells. And it's in the Spirit of God opening our eyes to begin to comprehend what is the height, the depth, the breadth, and the height of all that the love of God is to be in us. His Spirit begins to teach us and begins to lead us. And as we comply with it, our vision of Him begins to grow. And we begin to get caught up in something far beyond ourselves. We are now beginning to be a people born of the Spirit. And we are moving and we're feeling the cry of God for His house. We begin to feel the weight of God for my brother and for my sister. And we begin to minister to one another out of the same spirit in which Paul moved. He said that I might present every man as a chaste virgin unto Christ. It's no longer about him. It's about the people of God being so ministered to through the power of the Spirit in our times of fellowship that we are no longer just nice people slapping each other on the back, but we are a people, what does it say, as face answereth to face, as iron sharpens iron. We are seeking to prepare each other for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We so feel the love of God that we pour out ourselves. It says in Ephesians, speaking the truth one to another, that we may grow up into Him, and become that living body. And if we could begin to grasp by the Spirit of God what is meant by the church, which is His body, I'm just going to mention a couple things that true vision communicates. And Paul, standing before King Agrippa in the book of Acts, he declares to this king, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. The vision of God begins to communicate obedience. The vision of God begins to grip our heart. And it came to me years ago, love is the basis of obedience. And true love produces true obedience. And as the vision lays hold of our lives, it begins to subject all the other loves of our hearts. Everything becomes subjected to the love of God in Christ in us. And we begin to grow in the extent of our obedience unto Him. Love is the fulfillment, and only love can fulfill the will of God in each of us. Love is the secret and the core of all of our transactions with God. The offerings of the new covenant are not based in law, they're based in love. Every offering we bring to Him is a free will offering. And we give ourselves because He gave Himself for us. We love Him because He first loved us. Obedience is the fruit of one who has been given a heavenly vision. The paltry visions of men fade. The inspiration of the carnal lead to compromise and stagnation. Within the heavenly vision resides a power that keeps the heart on fire that ever burns unto purity. So vision also communicates a growing purity. Purity of heart is the lens through which we see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we are, our ability to see God is ever proportional to the purity of the heart that we have. As our motives become pure, so will our works, and so will our words. And within the core of the Spirit of God is a fire that burns. And as we yield ourselves to its burning and to its processing of us, we begin to grow in the dynamic of a purity that touches His heart and becomes the springboard from which we communicate His word and His life to others. And so John brings this out in great purity. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope purifieth himself, even as He, Christ Himself, is pure. So vision communicates and brings to us a willingness in our heart to allow God to purify us, that we might see Him more clearly. And the more we see Him clearly, the more we're going to be able to communicate His wonder in our midst to one another. Vision also communicates movement. I have many friends who at one time had some form of a vision, but the vision has become an ideal and has lost its power and the fire to move in God. There is a stagnation that comes when we allow the vision of God to be a doctrine instead of a life and a journey. And so, as we touched on the last time we spoke, to me it's a core verse in my own life, to Habakkuk. And Jehovah answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it upon the tablets. God is seeking a people who engrave the vision upon the tablets of their own heart. It's engraved in stone. It is something that is unshakable. It burns even when we feel apathetic and so-so. I mean, I have those days. And it's a vision that has within it the power of God. So write the vision. Why? That he who reads it may run. There is no stagnation in those who allow the vision of God to press them. What did Paul say? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind me, I press with all that I have unto him. That's what vision communicates to those who allow it to embrace and capture their hearts for Christ alone. Vision is God's answer to the stagnation of his church. And every man must have his own vision. Every man must have a comprehension of the call and the purposes of God. Paul says, I press toward the mark that I may apprehend that for which God has apprehended me. Paul knew there was a precise call that God had placed on him. I know people who go through life and they go, well, I just sort of do whatever I think needs to be done at the time. Well, God wants to characterize us. Agabus the prophet, Timothy the evangelist, we got all the apostles of God. Paul is always declaring, Paul an apostle. Paul, an apostle means in the Greek, one that is sent of God for a specific purpose. And God is calling a people to precision, because as the body comes together, we need every member to be that who they are, that the body might function in fullness. If I'm missing a finger, I can't lay hold of everything as I ought to. And the true ministry of God is concerned about the members of the body of Christ. They recognize, Paul said in Ephesians, that we with all saints may comprehend the glory of God. And so we begin to get a bigger picture than just ourselves. And yes, we are members of one body, members in particular. And as I take my place, as I allow God to discipline me, I begin to feel the pulse of his spirit for the rest of the body. So Paul says, can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of thee? Yes, it can if it hasn't been attached to the heart of God. We got many today. I don't need you. That's not the cry of the Spirit of God. There's a heartbeat that beats within him. Without a vision, Proverbs 28:18, it says, without a vision, the King James says, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. But literally in the Hebrew, it says, without a vision, a people are made naked. They've lost their clothing. They've lost the purpose of life. They become disillusioned, stagnated, and turned out of the way. Vision communicates movement within our hearts. without a vision, the people of God become conditioned to what is. We become used to unanswered prayers. We become desensitized with the lack of His presence, His manifest presence in our midst. We become a people that are accustomed and comfortable and content with something other than God's fullness. And Blaise Pascal said something very powerful. He spoke on mediocrity. Nothing is as approved as mediocrity. The majority has established it, and it fixes its fangs on whatever gets beyond it, either way. To desire and to pursue the vision of God in your heart will cut across the lines of the mediocrity of today. It will bring reproach. And that reproach is part of the vehicle that purifies the vision within you. Laban was a very powerful means to purify Jacob. And it was part of the processing of God. And we must not only endure, but we must allow our hearts to be shaped in the contradiction of all that comes our way because of our passion for Jesus Christ. Mediocrity is the fruit of a godless faith, a faith that is bereft of the pulse and the life of God. And we spoke last week, or last time we got together, on the mutual faith. The mutual faith is the atmosphere where the truths and the power of God are imparted. Right now, we have very little impartation of the impartations of God occurring in our gatherings together, because the atmosphere and the place that enables God to work His work is as we each grow into a place of flowing together in the Spirit of God, where the faith of one encourages and builds up the faith of another. And we are a people that as we meet, there is an expectation of the moving of God in our midst. We read about Timothy. God says, fulfill the prophecy that was given you by the laying on of hands. It is the atmosphere where the impartations of the call of God go forth to each and every member of His body. God hasten us. God move in us. God create such a hunger in us for the more of Him. And God help us to minister to one another, that we might be salt that causes our brother to thirst, that we might be a source of bread to encourage and exhort one another, that we might come and see the fullness of God and all that He has purposed. We are in the day of transition. In the day of transition, as it was in the days of David, David was out in the South 40. The call of God was to rule and reign. And he's being pursued by Saul relentlessly. That's all part of us coming into a people that are humbled in themselves. And there are contractions in the spirit as we get nearer and nearer to the day of his appearing. And within those contractions, there are, to those who are in the spirit, they feel a growing sense of groanings, as Paul says in Romans 8. groanings of the Spirit. For all creation is groaning and travailing together even until now, awaiting what? The manifestation of the Son of God in a people who have come into the fullness of their abiding in Him. All creation is groaning for this day that is breaking forth upon us, this day that is being clouded in the animosity and the waves and the tumult of the sea, which the book of Revelation says this, the sea represents the people of the earth. They're being tossed to and fro. They are being troubled, and the perplexity of the nations is coming upon us. Men don't have answers for this hour. And God is seeking to prepare a people who are the revelation of the Son. And we know there's been a lot of horrendous elitism and pride associated with the term manifestation of the sons of God. But the sons of God that are His walk in the humility, the meekness, and the power of a dynamic within them. They seek nothing for themselves. They seek His glory. They speak His words, and they do His work. And this moment that is upon us, these moments of the travail of the Spirit and the contractions that we're feeling are the movements of God bringing us to a new place in Him. Not all that name the name of the Lord know of this great work that is occurring within the depths of their own being. And as it says in Revelation 12:1, and a great sign was seen in the heavens, a woman having been clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And having a babe in womb, she cries, being in labor, having been distressed to bear. And another sign was seen in the heavens. These are simultaneously happening. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of the heaven, and he throws them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, being about to bear, so that when she bears, he might devour her child. And she bore a son, a male, who was going to shepherd, rule all the nations with an iron staff. And her child was caught away to God and to His throne. These two things are happening simultaneously in the earth. They are coming to pass in our day and in our moment. And there are a people who are feeling the agonizing call of God to something greater. There is a vision that is birthed within them that is causing them to comprehend that this world is passing away. This world will soon be no more, and it will usher in the greatness and the glory of God. And God is looking for a people. He has ever looked for a people. While many people say in this day they are waiting for God, God is waiting for a people who will so yield themselves by the mercies of God as living sacrifices, fit and prepared for His expression. This is the day of movement. This is the day of the Son of God bringing forth a people clothed in the humility, the meekness, and the wonder of all that He is. And we have within the scope of God's word, there has always been in the history of God a church within the church. We see that church within the church revealed in the parable of the 10 virgins. They were all virgins, but 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Many claim and many are His children. But there is a difference between the wise and the foolish. And though even now we recognize there is a certain amount of slumber within our hearts, like it says in the In the Song of Songs, it says, I sleepeth, but my heart waketh. There is something tugging at the heart of God's people. There is something that is pulling those that are His. And they're seeking to fill themselves with the oil of the Spirit, for they know that the day that is upon us is going to require far more than what they now have. And they're holding and drawing near to Him that He might fill their vessels with oil, while the five foolish are comfortable in a confession without feeling the weight of the day that is upon us. And it is in this hour and it is in this day that God is marking His own. It says in the book of Ezekiel, just before the six angels went forth with slaughtering weapons in their hand, He says to the man with the inkhorn, go and set a mark upon all those who sigh and cry over the abominations that go on in his house. And the man with the inkhorn went forth, and he went forth and he put a towel, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, upon the foreheads of those who cannot abide in the horror of what we call the church today. And that tau in the ancient pictograph, Hebrew pictograph, is a cross. They are a people who have made Him their own. They have carried their crosses. They are bearing them even now, that they might be a people that are dead unto themselves and alive unto Him. We are nearing a day of great proportions, of great violence breaking forth across the earth, and God is seeking a people who are preparing their hearts, who are drawing near to Him, comprehending that all that is going on in this hour will soon be brought to naught. It is a day of preparation. It is a day for us to speak truth to one another. It is a day for us to begin to recognize the call of God unto a new thing. The people of God, when they lose their vision, they become content with what is. There is a vision of God that He would open to all who would draw near to Him. And God's word to the church at Laodicea, this church that is their church, it's clear in the Greek, it's their church. And He calls out to that church and He says, if any man in this church will open the door of their heart, I will come in and sup with him. I will prepare him. I will feed him with the necessary bread. I will fill him with the necessary spiritual fortitude to stand in a day when no man is going to be able to stand. God is calling today. He's seeking to prepare us for something far beyond anything we can comprehend. And we have the bride in the heaven who is beginning to feel the birth pangs of the Spirit in greater and greater measures as the contractions of a spirit are pressing in the earth, causing the beast to be manifested. It says in the book of Daniel, God, He saw the Spirit of God moving on the face of the waters, and out of it came the four beasts. Well, in our day, the Spirit of God is bringing the last beast to fullness. He's going to bring it to a fullness that He may judge it in a fullness. And it is in this hour that those who are alive in Him can begin to fully acquaint themselves with the fact that where we are in this moment is insufficient for the hour that is upon her. And there is a girding and a clothing and a ministry of the Spirit that is breathing upon God's people, a new sense of power, a new sense of who they are in God. Spiritual identity is essential in this hour, and only the people who are hearers of the word are free from the deception of hearing and not doing. There is a people arising because of their obedience. They know who they are and they know who God is. And as Elijah of old stood up and said, as the Lord my God liveth before whom I stand, it shall not rain according to my word. God is bringing forth a people that know their God, and they speak his words, and they do his works, and they are ready to lay down their lives for the honor and glory of him. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. And it is to that end that God is pressing us in his spirit. He's pressing us in our times of gathering together that we don't continue as business as usual, but there is an intensity to be prepared for the day that we're living in. And in the parable of the five wise and the five foolish, this scripture just hit my spirit so hard today. And it says of the foolish, and while they are going to buy oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in, I love that word, went in with him to the marriage of the feast, and the door was shut. May we comprehend the gravity of the moment we're in. As the storm begins to break, the five foolish suddenly go, oh, I'm not ready. I need more provisions. And while they're trying to meet this day with vessels that are out of oil, the bridegroom comes. But they who are ready go in with him. Isn't that, the wording of the Spirit of God is so powerful. And may our spirits lay hold of the day in which we live. But the church in the earth, that earthly church, is like unto the days of Eli. And what does it say about the days of Eli? And the boy Samuel was serving Jehovah before Eli, and the word of Jehovah was rare in those days. They went through the rituals, they were going through the motions, but the living word of God, that word of God that produces faith and substance within his people, was rare and precious. And the boy Samuel was serving Jehovah before Eli, and the word of Jehovah was rare in those days. There was no breaking through vision. And it happened at that time, Eli, a symbol of the priests of many of the ministers in God's house today, was lying down in his place, and his eyes had begun to be dim, and he was not able to see. So you have the five wise and the five foolish, the church within the church, where the confessions of all may sound good. But, you know, like it says in Romans, I have to keep repeating it. It says, for all creation groaneth and travaileth even now. Who are they? Those who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. This groaning is the fruit of the life of another. Years ago when Linda was pregnant with our first child, and this woman I thought I knew was going through all these changes, and she was changing emotionally. I mean, the change was very significant. And one night as I was seeking God, God spoke to me as clear as could be. And he said the reason Linda was going through all these changes is because there's another life in her. They who have the first fruits of the Spirit know of this groaning. It isn't a product of self. It isn't a product of good teaching. It's not a product of a sermon. It's a product of the very Spirit of God moving within. What does it say about the woman in the heavens? She had a babe in her womb. And she was crying out, being in labor. And there is something of the Spirit of God that men cannot produce. This holy, precious thing in God is of Him, to Him, and through Him. There is nothing of man that can produce the thing that's coming. And there's nothing in the enemy that can prevent its coming. He will position himself and seek by every means possible to prevent this birth. He will create chaos. He will persecute the church without mercy. But he cannot prevail the coming forth of this child. There's no stopping it. And this child is going to rule and reign in Christ. That's her destiny. And God is seeking to bring forth a people created in the image of Him, filled with His Spirit. Paul said words in Ephesians that you can't even comprehend. He says that you would know the love of Christ, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I hear people talk today, oh, we'll never be perfect. Well, if I'm filled with the fullness of God, if I come into the love of God, the love of God, what does it say in Corinthians? Love thinketh no evil. As the love of God is developed in us, we are incapacitated for an evil thought. May God cause us to comprehend the heights to which He has purposed for those who are in Christ Jesus. One last thought, one last part of the vision of God is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It's hard for us to comprehend this, but this is what Peter considered the norm. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, minister as the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is the glory and the power through the ages of the ages. And the thought came to me today as I read that true ministry cannot rest with the people who speak about their God without bringing them to the place where God speaks through them. May we comprehend the difference between these two. And may we rise up and comprehend that in our meetings and in our gatherings, God's desire is to so pour out His Spirit into each of us that as we speak and as we share, we grow into the place of becoming His oracle, where we become to shine forth the distinct characteristics of His call upon us. And as we look at the early church, we see the apostolic ministry, and we see Paul, we see Peter, we see James, we see Jude and Apollos, and no two of them carried the same message. Paul described himself as one who laid the foundation. Peter had another expression. And within the context of the whole, the Bible, the New Covenant, would not be the New Covenant without the expressions of Peter, Paul, John, James, Jude, each bringing their... Paul says, according to my gospel will men be judged. My gospel, my word that God has given to me to express. Peter looked at Paul's words and he says, some of those things can easily be corrupted with men who know not the heart of God. But we got to see the context of the whole and our input into each of our lives is how this body is going to arise and come forth in the fullness. And when that child is brought forth, the word declares, then there was war in heaven. May we be such a people. Amen.